Who is that?
Who is that?
Okay.
Please identify yourself.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who is this?
What is your name?
Janet.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like you're a member of the committee, the governance committee. And so if you're not on, please hang up. I mean, it's perfectly okay to listen in, but it isn't okay to be you know, on the call.
Yeah, the lady with the headphones, please identify yourself. Yeah. And lady with the headphones, what is your name? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what is your name?
What is your name? Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your name is. You're not a member of the committee. I'd appreciate it if you would hang up this call. You're in the middle of a discussion on the governance committee, and the discussion is only for people who are members of the committee.
Yeah, so you got a wrong number, in other words. The lady with the headphones got a wrong number.
So would you please hang up?
I think she did. Because she stopped talking. Or else she's listening, which is fine.
That was strange.
Well, it's just the wrong number. It's just the wrong number. She was having trouble with her headphones. So it's a combination of a wrong number and somebody dealing with new technology and trying to get her headphones to work, you know, on Skype or something. So it's just somebody just having technical problems. No big deal. It was strange, but
okay. So let's go back to where we were, which was I was suggesting that the way the recent amendment is written. It sounds as though you have to, even if it does violate the foundation's business interests,
no, it doesn't.
Say what the subject of the motions were and what the vote was on it. And that seems to me to be too constraining, that the interests of the foundation have to trump the interests of reporting every motion out. For sure, and I presume that Bob doesn't really intend that, but it seems to me the way it's worded, it sounds that way.
Don, this is Bob. I've redone the wording to address that.
Okay, would you read it again?
Okay, so now say, you know, all public reports shall include statements of topics discussed and any decisions made. And this time I would invert the order and go with the original language, just changing instead of including the maximal amount of value. It used to read including the maximal allowable information, blah, blah, blah. And now it would read containing the maximal allowable information that will not compromise the foundation's business interests or violate any legal requirements, including the roll call vote and vote counts on each motion or portion of a motion that the body decides should be reported out.
Because
let me note that actually I've been on the LSB when we decided that we're not actually going to report out the main part of what we decided and the main motion, one section of the motion, but there's another section of the motion that concerns something confidential, so we're going to omit that piece of it. So that's a legitimate way to parse what's public and what's not public.
John, to the queue.
Okay, John, go ahead.
Yeah, from what I heard, I agree with Bob's intention, but I don't think I agree with his exact wording because as I parsed it, I think he said something he didn't intend to say. So I need to hear it one more time before I'm absolutely sure that of what I heard.
Okay, so shall include specific statement of topics discussed and any decisions made containing the maximal allowable information that will not compromise the foundation's business interests or violate any legal requirements, comma, including the roll call vote and vote counts on each motion or portion of a motion that the body decides should be reported out.
Okay, after the comma where it says comma including, do you mean comma and shall include?
Well, I do mean that.
Okay, but see, the thing is, otherwise it's ambiguous, because the including sounds like that's the part that you're not supposed to disclose. It can
okay.
be part.
Shall include that works, and shall
okay,
include
and
the roll call vote.
Because otherwise,
let me reverse the order and make it and shall include the vote counts and roll call vote on each motion or portion of a motion that the body decides should be reported out.
Shall be. Bigger shall be reported out.
And shall. Right.
Not should,
right.
Shall.
Okay.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm supporting your intention all the way along here. I'm just trying to make the words as clear as possible.
Okay. Any other questions about the motion?
Call the question.
It's been amended.
George. Larry Sack.
Yeah, Larry, Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. Just to be consistent, I think we should take a roll call vote on this.
We can't do anything else on the phone, Lawrence, except do a roll call vote.
Oh, sure you can. We can raise our hands.
Okay. Will you report back accurately which hand you have up?
Sure.
Okay. Bob, any further comments? I think we're probably ready to vote on this one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't object to it.
Does anyone else want to comment again? I'll ask Bob to read it, the whole thing, one more time, and then we'll take a vote otherwise. Okay, Bob, would you read the whole thing? I'm sorry? Would you read the whole thing? Did someone else want to make a comment?
Tony Norman.
Tony, go ahead.
Yes, I would support this motion. I think there has been entirely too many closed meetings, and I was one of those in the minority voting against those meetings being closed and those subject matter, particularly the one that you, the example that was mentioned here in regards to the New York LMA issue. In fact, I think that entire issue should have been a public discourse. In even disclosing, we wanted to even disclose who all of the people submitting proposals. So I would strongly support this because it should be a very limited understanding. We should only go in closed session for very limited issues. And the board should lean toward open and not closed. When I was chair of the LSB and WPFW, I think we rarely had closed meetings. And when we did closed session, it was related to personnel matters or legal matters. But everything else was an open session. So I think C&B should strongly follow that. So I would support the motion.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak? Okay, Bob, would you read the whole thing as revised?
Sure.
As amended?
Okay, so this is point D. So the current language stays. This part of it stays the same. All public reports following such closed meetings or parts of meetings shall include specific statements of the topics discussed and any decisions made. And then instead of the word including, it'll say containing the maximal allowable information that will not compromise the foundation's business interests or violate any legal requirements, and then the new language, and shall include the vote counts and roll call votes on each motion or portion of, or portion of motions that the body decides shall be reported out.
Okay. Does anyone want the rest of it read?
First we're voting on that amendment, because then I have an amendment to address what people raised about who's reporting it out and where do they publish it and all that. So that we should do them one at a time.
You're correct. Is there any objection to the amendment as just read?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's take a vote on that. Just a minute. I have to bring up the thing. Okay, let's see. Orem Agamir. Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
Mal Bernstein.
Yes.
Vanessa's not here. Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Pat Logan.
No.
Tony Norman.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg. Manisha Sava. John Wenger.
Yes.
Jane Zara.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 7-1.
George, did you want to vote?
No, I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
Let's see. Then
can I move on to the Second Amendment?
You had a revision of question of how do we make this public? How do we make
right.
the decision public?
I have wording on that. Can I read it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I would insert this. The closest place to put it is Section E, so which currently says in the bylaw sentence requiring public reporting, quote, within a reasonable period after the closed meeting, the term reasonable period shall be defined as within 2 business days. So then I would add another sentence to that Section E, which would read like this. As per the bylaws, in the case of the Pacifica National Board and its committees, such public reporting shall be done by the Foundation Secretary on the Foundation's website, and in the case of a local station board and its committees, by the LSB Secretary on the station's website. That's it.
Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment? Okay, hearing none, the amendment is passed. Are there any other amendments to the motion?
Yes.
Okay, Lawrence?
Lawrence.
Okay.
And it's more in the form of a question. Bob, in terms of what would it take to move the stations to put in these reports out on the website. Is that relevant right now or not?
Well, actually,
it's in the motion.
Yeah, actually, this is one of the good things about having these discussions every once in a while, that you discover these totally obscure parts of the bylaws that nobody's been following. So the one that I just rediscovered about that the LSB secretary has to publish within a reasonable period, what was the basis for closing that part of the meeting? So now we're reminding everyone, or if the PNB passes this, it'll put everyone on official notice that, hey, you know, you've got to, the LSB secretary has to put this on the public website. And similarly, the PNB secretary, if it's a PNB matter or a PNB committee. So I think this really spells that out, or reminds people that that's already been spelled out.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other amendments to the motion? Does anyone want to hear it read again? Okay. Are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Well, only Lawrence wanting a roll call vote, but I'm not sure that was a joke or serious.
Not sure either. There's no objections. Lawrence, yeah?
I was kind of serious, but I could go either way. It doesn't matter. I just will be requesting a roll call vote, then we should go on record as well.
The minutes will reflect who's here. And the motion is unanimous, so...
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, there's no objection. So, so I will forward this to the PNB. Bob, would you send you the
revised version.
Yes, thank you.
Bob, would you send it to me too, please?
Oh, yeah, no, what I meant to say was I'll put it on the committee listserv.
Right.
So
okay,
everyone will have it.
Good, I have to... Notify our secretary that he may have a little more work.
Right. Well, you know, to be technical about it, it hasn't passed the
PNB yet. He's got it already.
It hasn't passed the PNB yet, but it's good to notify the secretary that even if this hasn't passed, there's already a bylaws requirement that person should start following. So that's a good point. And, of course, George, actually, this reminds me of something related, George, if I can just make one quick comment.
Yeah, sure.
That all the committee chairs, because I know this because I'm a chair of another committee, elections, and we got a notice from the national office that by tomorrow we have to send our report to the national office so they can consolidate, you know, a binder for all the board members to be ready for the in-person meeting. So this is just, a reminder to George that it would be good if this can be, you know, a key part of the report that you make.
Well, what I intended to do was to simply put in all the motions that we passed. And a short discussion about how the committee worked, in particular that we always made quorum. I think that's true, actually. I'm not sure. I think we missed once, actually. By and large, worked very well. And I guess that would be it. Yeah. So I'll include this as part of that summary.
John, into the queue.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, it just strikes me, you know, in terms of facilitating process, it's great that we're sending it to, you know, doing those things you said and sending it to all the committee members so that we all know. But I think we also should send it to the chairs of the LSB. We need to make sure the LSBs hear about this, and so we can all try to make sure if we get this quickly, then we can send it to our LSBs. The reason is, if our LSBs know about this, then we can talk to, and maybe we have PNB directors who aren't necessarily for this. I mean, I know at least two of them are because they're on this committee, but maybe the rest of them aren't. And if the LSBs are informed about this before the PNB votes on it, then we can talk to our LSB members, our LSB director members, and say, hey, this is a good idea. You ought to consider voting for this. Otherwise, they get it in the dark. They think upon it. You know, they have no input from their LSB, and maybe they vote against this thing. And in that sense, they're not representing their LSBs. And I know it's only a theoretical concept that directors actually represent LSBs, but I think we ought to at least follow the theory and give pro forma support for this. So let's make sure that we do everything possible to get it to LSBs, and that would include sending this out to the LSB chairs as well, saying, you know, distribute this to your LSBs.
John, would you do that?
I think we should do this generally from governance. You know, if we want our governance stuff to pass at the PNB, then we need to lobby your LSBs for our stuff.
I'm just asking you to take on the job of finding out what the email addresses is all for the. Actually, it's really simple. KPFTX has it on.
I think we have it, and if not, we can get it. Certainly, Liddy will have it. She's got that stuff at the tip of her typing fingers.
And I
can find it quickly.
It's all right. It is on all the LSBs. The membership and email addresses are. Okay, so it doesn't say who's the chair, and I don't know who's the chair.
We can all send the chair email addresses in to our website to our listeners.
I'm just suggesting this is a process improvement for this committee to, if we really, you know, instead of just sending our stuff off blindly to the PNB and crossing our fingers and hoping for the best, we ought to try to do everything possible, you know, and if we're really outliers and not representative of our local LSVs, well, then that's a problem. But at the very least, if we really ought to have LSV support for director decisions.
Okay, John. I think I understand what you're saying. So this is not just for this particular one. You're suggesting that the governance committee, as a regular matter, when it sends on whatever it decided to the PNB, also send it to the chairs of the LSB.
We should all
send in the contact info to this listserv. So, you know, I mean, I could send Ola's name in and Eve.
Yes, you would. Yes.
Lawrence, that.
I don't think we have anyone from KPFA there here, but
Mal Bernstein, isn't he from KPFA?
Who? Oh, Mal is. Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you would all do that, I would appreciate it. It'll save me scrounging around trying to figure out who's the chair and so on.
Sure. Sure.
There was somebody else. Somebody else wanted to speak. Was it Lawrence?
Yeah. I think this is a great idea, John. I just know, at least for our LSB, and it's good to get it to the chairs, but no, actually, you know what? You're right. If we get it to the chair, then we could send it out to the LSB list. All right. No, forget it, John.
Okay.
At least forget it now,
George. Can we move on to the next item?
Sure.
That's Lawrence, that's yours, which is the procedure that was used in the PD search that was canceled at KPFK, I guess about a year ago now, isn't it?
No,
maybe half a year.
It was
6 months.
About 6 months ago.
Okay,
maybe 6 months ago.
Would you like to speak to that and tell us what happened and what the issue is?
I think it was a miscarriage of justice to actually first the PNB passes a motion to strap the committee. Actually that came after, to make sure that no listener members on committees, non-listener members, cannot be on committees. And so then they pass, they go into this, they formulate this investigative group that came out with the edit to reformulate the committee as it was, with people who have been completely turned out or are no longer LSB members, to go ahead and pick up and continue the process. So, and the chair that reconvened the meeting is actually not an LSB member anymore. So it kind of contradicts the PNB's first motion to not have any non-LSB members or non-listener members on the committees, on this PD search committee, and then went ahead and came out with this edit for them to complete the process, which, you know, I don't think legally they could do, because according to the motion that the PNB passed, it's mute, you know. So that's why I brought up the concern, because we have reformulated a committee, which Dr. Wang is on, and so we had to stop our work when we were just about gearing up to engage in a full-blown PD search committee. So I don't know. I'm bringing this concern because I would like us to come up with some sort of resolution in regards to what it is that we could either voice our objection. I know the constituents that I have from KPFK have told me that they completely, and the LSB members on KPFK, not all of them, are completely against, you know, this repackaging or reinserting this committee that it already went away and they brought it back. So so I would like to at least open this up for discussion, George, if possible.
Okay.
Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, good.
Yeah, and John and Q as well.
So I think that there were two things that are specific to governance. One is that there was an original PD process that was approved by the PNB in 2012. And the other is that when it was amended in 2013 to exclude listener members from participating in the search committee, that then...
And non-LSP members, Lydia, I'm sorry.
Pardon?
And non-LSP members as well.
Yes, that's what I meant, non-LSB members. And
So then by reinstituting this other committee, which was the initial one that was aborted due to breach of confidentiality or whatever the charge was, but then that was and so in the interim, the LSB voted its own search committee. So then there was another one. But they did so without rescinding their amended motion to exclude non-LSB members. So I think that's the governance issue. The other issues are not something that, A, we can or should be discussing in here, and we wouldn't have all the facts in front of us. But anyway, but I think that that's the issue, is the caution to the PMB to go through process. There are two or three things like that that they seem to be skipping the process. If you don't like that, if you're going to go another way, then you need to rescind that previous motion. You can't just go ahead and do whatever you want to do that's contrary and contradicts that the original motion. But I don't know what this committee can do. It's not an enforcing committee.
John?
Yeah, I'm very weary of this whole issue. We did have a breach of confidentiality, and that basically sabotaged the original committee. And the fact of the matter is, so we've had an interim PD for about a year and a half, might be getting close to 2 years now, 3 years, excuse me. We've had 3.5 years going on 4. And meanwhile, the CPB has just told us that due to declining listenership, we no longer are going to get a CPB matching grant. This is KPFK in Los Angeles. And so our listenership is declining according to the CPB. And I don't know what their metrics are, but whatever they are, we're losing 10% of our budget. And we frankly can't afford it. So we need to move forward. And I've just had it with this whole issue. We've been so goddamn dilatory and delaying on this thing here. I mean, I there's a part of me that agrees with, you know, the governance issues on the PNB, but I think that the PNB is really struggling with survival issues right now. And KPFK, I mean, the bottom line is money around the network. I think every other station, KPF is in no better shape than KPFK. We're barely meeting our budget, but we do it, you know, at the cost of more than 93 days of fundraising a year. And we're the so-called strong station, one of the strong stations. We're losing our listeners, according to the CPB, and that means a 10% loss of budget. So doesn't everybody think it's time for us to get somebody in there, perhaps a new interim programming director, one who can get us some listeners? So I see this as dilatory and dysfunctional, and I think that we're kind of arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, because isn't it true that the PNB is dealing with survival issues nationwide, network-wide? I might have that wrong, but I mean, there's a part of me philosophically that says, yeah, we should dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And, you know, and so I'm torn philosophically about this. But when it comes to survival versus the precise dotting of the I's and crossing the T's, I don't have patience for this governance minutia. And so I really think that we're just loading up the PNB with more stuff it doesn't need to do exactly when it's trying to survive. So that's my point. Done.
Anyone else want to speak to this, and would anyone like to make a motion?
Well, I move that we don't do this.
You can't move we don't do a motion that isn't on the floor.
I know. Okay, so I oppose the motion.
Ross,
Lawrence, Lydia, go ahead. Well, I'm sorry. I think I heard Lawrence first, then Lydia.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with John, but knowing his sense of justice and his sense for accountability, I find it kind of contradictory that he would come out so strongly against a point where, I mean, if the PNB would have rescinded their original action, then I wouldn't agree with it, but I would have respected it. because at least they follow process. They follow the democratically processes that, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. So, you know, I think we should send an admonition to the previous PMB and let inform them that they should follow process, and when they want to do something different than contradicting themselves, that they should rescind something in order to put something back in its place, in order to reinstitute something. That's all I'm saying, John. I'm not saying that I would have agreed with they rescinding the original action, but at least I would have respected it because they would have engaged in democratic processes.
Lydia. Lydia?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything that, because you can have, we can pass a motion, but there has to be a will to respect motions. There has to be a will to respect this committee, which all those motions we passed back in July and August, they refused to move up on the agenda, including revealing salaries, et cetera. So I will not. I don't support anything coming out of this committee. I don't think it's appropriate because you can't share the information that is the most relevant to this particular issue. I don't think it really belongs here besides the procedural. So I won't propose a motion. But I do think that how we elect our directors and our LSB members should have some relevance to the adherence to motions that are passed in a regard for the process at any given time. And failure to do that puts us in these situations time and time and again. But I can't really flesh out this issue on this call. It's too much confidential information. Sorry.
Anyone else want to speak to this? I want to say something about survival as an institution. And when you're in a constant state of emergency and you're constantly not acting on your own bylaws and not carrying out motions that you've passed, you really haven't got anything. Unless you... unless you're willing to stand for what you say you stand for, and I'm not going to propose a motion in this case. I don't even know the details of it, but I was really speaking with John about at some point simply doing what you're supposed to do, following your bylaws, following your rules, is a way of strengthening the institution. I think that's the case. To the extent that you don't, you haven't got an institution. I just wanted to say that.
Well, my reminder to that is that when people divulge confidential information, when committee members divulge confidential information, that can sabotage one whole year of work. And I spent my time there. I put in that year of work. And I'm not happy about that committee member that divulged that information. And so I take your point, and I, you know, I told you when I spoke, philosophically, I'm divided on this issue. There's a practical part of me that says we got to move forward and save the network, or at least save KPFK, because that's the part that this issue it pertains to. You know, there's a philosophical part that says, yeah, we have to follow process precisely. I'm divided on this issue, but I'm not going to support this motion.
There is no motion, and unless there's one made, we're going to move on to the next item.
Lawrence, real quick, Judge.
Yeah, Lawrence, go ahead.
There's a lot of confidential information. There's a lot of allegations going around. So I wouldn't, you know, say that one person divulged information, because there's a lot of rumors and allegations that are going around in regards to the breach, or if there is a breach. So I would caution Dr. Wang to not, to jump to conclusions, especially on the public brain, because there's enough to go around.
Right. I'll just say, Lawrence, that I was there, and I've not said anything. I've not identified any names. A lot of stuff's been on the internet. I will just say I was there. I was on the inside, and that's why I'm divided on this issue, because I'm on the governance committee because I believe in governance and following process. On the other hand, I know sabotage when I see it, and I know the people involved. I was there. I saw some of the stuff with my own eyes. And
okay,
so,
can we move on? This conversation is really not appropriate
sure.
The moment just for where we're at.
I'm responding to Lawrence's comment.
I got it. We do have one more item on the agenda. We've got about 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that, which was the motion to make specific that the PNB could wish to send up to 2 PNB members to each committee. Lydia, did you ever dig up the motion that was passed?
Ever since I lost all my 2012 emails due to a hacking incident, I can't find it. But I'm sure you have it because you made it. So,
that we
forward the motion that was used in 2012, right? Yeah, 2012. For the populating of the PNB committees by directors. And so that entailed that, and we had an opinion, by the way, if I may motivate, we had an opinion from our council, Pacifica's council, at the time, both at the in-person meeting here in Los Angeles as well as in writing. He gave the same opinion that the reading of the bylaws, which says at least one director from each of the stations to serve on these committees, meant exactly that there could be more than one, but not less than one. And so George came up with the motion so that since there were objections, obviously, to this, that at least it puts a maximum on there in terms of the motion. This was not a bylaws amendment, so it was just said that there could be no more than 2 per PNB committee. The result was, number one, it saved time in populating the committees because we didn't have to have elections. It's not like most of us are going to jump on board on 5 committees or anything. So, and also it did reduce that problem of having only the board majority populate all the committees because it's by election, so usually if there's 2 people they tend to dominate. And the other advantage to it was that there were more people because you discuss the issue, you discuss the motion in committee, you have more of the PNB members who will eventually be voting on the issue become very familiar with the issue, whether they're for it or against it, and it cuts down on the time at the full PNB level discussion because you've already vetted it by more people. So it was very advantageous. It did not negatively affect the making of quorum or any such claims that were feared prior to that, and I think that we should reintroduce that motion.
Lydia, I don't in fact have it. I lost essentially all my files with a backup failure about a year ago.
John, into the queue.
But however, it's a simple enough motion. I mean, the point is very simple.
Right.
That either you or I can make it at the PNB meeting.
Yeah.
So we don't have to have the specific wording, I think. Well, John.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to say it, where it says shall have at least one, say shall have 1 or 2. That's the quickest way to say it. Or if you want to say shall have at least 1 but no more than 2.
Yeah.
I think that's what George's motion was.
Okay, well, I'm happy with either one of those. So let's see if the committee will accept it without objection. and we'll finish it by 7:30.
Lydia made that motion, and if it's okay to use that language, at least one and no more than two, we can make it a motion to be forwarded from the governance committee to the PMD. Is there any objection to that language?
This is Bob.
Bob?
Yeah. I don't necessarily object. I just don't think it really accomplishes anything because it's essentially, it comes close to restating what the bylaws already says. So I think what Lydia's intent is to say, while the bylaws authorizes more than one, we, and in this case the we would be our committee, is recommending that the PNB go on record as saying we think the best number is two. That it should not be limited to one. So because to pass it the way you just said it is permissive. It just says, well, it could be one or it could be two. But that doesn't really answer the question. The PNB needs to decide how many positions will it open up, and therefore people can either run for or volunteer for. So, I mean, if the preference is indeed for two, which for the reasons Lydia laid out makes sense to me, then I think we should just say it straight up.
I don't think so. I mean, John DeLacue?
Yeah, okay, John.
At least one means anywhere from one to nine, or one to four, because there's four directors. So at least one means one to four. And I think that that's contrary to the theory of good governance, where you have representation from all factions. So if you've got three factions, you might have three. If you have two factions, you'd have two. If you have one overwhelming faction, then I guess you could have four, and that would tend to overwhelm other stations. I think philosophically, at least one or two, because right most of the time we're going to have two factions, because it's easier for the powers that be to divide us into two factions than into three. And so for most of the time, we have two factions. So at least one, but not more than two, accomplishes the goal. And I think that most people are not going to want, most directors don't want to be on a whole lot of committees. I mean, an unwieldy number of committees. So I like the motion, and I think that one, for those committees where there's no factional possibility of no factional relevance possible, if those committees exist, then at least one does it. But one but not more than two, at least one but not more than two, does it for those that have factional relevance. So I like the motion that George had proposed. The wording that George
stacked
both. Lawrence, good.
I tend to support this motion, but I have a question. So since I'm new to the next level, so in February, the LSBs populate committees, right?
Right.
And do directors have to run to on the local level?
No.
Okay.
The directors
are on the national level then.
Are elected at the national level, presumably at the January meeting.
Okay.
Which this year is in February.
Oh, February.
Right. Now in February, right. I kind of take Bob's point, actually. You could imagine if we left it as at least one, but no more than two, that on every committee, someone could say, well, I only have one on this case, in this case, not two. Was really the effect of the motion as it was written the first time was that there shall be two members appointed if they wish to be. So you basically can't block the second person that way.
Well, this is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, go ahead.
There's also the instance where we have more committees than we have directors who are willing to serve on them. So we have had committees that do not have one from each signal area, actually. That violates the bylaws, but that has happened.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the intention was that if there are two people who want to run for it, then they have to be accepted. If there are three, you could have an election.
Yes.
If there's only one, then you don't have to have a second. Obviously you can't make people serve on committees. So that was the clear intention. And
your motion was so simple. If only I could find it. It covered the whole thing. Okay. Well, anyway. So George and I will just come up with something at the PMB before the PMB meeting. But I think I just wanted, if we could at least get a sense of the committee, that what we're trying to communicate is that if there are two from any one station that wish to serve, they can. Up to
John, into the queue, please.
And then,
yeah, John, go ahead.
Yeah, as I think more and more about this, I just want to make some comments. I'm kind of changing my opinion. This is the situation. Here's to some analysis. The fact is that the way SAVV voting works, that if there's a factional majority on the PNB, then that factional majority can basically elect one. In fact, the factional majority may be able to elect more than one person from their faction, and you get factional amplification at the committee level. If you have the LSBs elect their people, you get factional. Basically STV will, the majority faction will get one, and the factional minority will get the other one, and so you have factional balance on these committees of the directors from each LSV. That strikes me as a better way to do it than to have all of it lumped in, all of this power centralized into one place, and the faction, because it causes the amplification of the majority, which in general is a bad thing. It's what the powers that be do to rule us all the time. And so philosophically, I think this really is better done at the LSV, because it pushes the decision-making down closer to the people. So
it's a bylaws requirement that it be done by the PNB.
Well, in that case, make it one or two.
Right. Well,
it really ought to be one from each faction.
Well,
and are we proposing policy or bylaw? Not a bylaws change, just a policy change, right?
Just policy.
Just a motion for this year.
Yeah. And
can I give you a sense, Lawrence?
I think I had Bob first.
Well, Lawrence can go ahead. That's fine.
Yeah, Lawrence.
Thank you, Bob. My sense is that I think. You guys being crafty veterans, that I would definitely go ahead and defer to you, and I'll take a look at it when it comes up.
Okay. Bob?
Yeah. Well, first on what John just said, I actually agree that I consider this a flaw in the bylaws that concentrates power at the national level over who represents your local area on the committees that do the nuts and bolts work. It really should have been left to the LSBs to elect, but that's maybe something for another time to propose a bylaws amendment. But for the short term, at least we do have that flexibility in the bylaws that the PNB can choose more than one, and that's a way to get more opinions and more experiences represented on each committee. So I think actually Lydia came up with what's the closest to wording that would communicate this, which is that I don't have it word for word, but something like, for any committee for which two directors wish to serve, they shall be able to, and if necessary, an election shall be held for those two seats, or something like that. But I do think it would be helpful to have the committee actually adopt something tonight. It can be very general, not some detailed wording, but just to show the sentiment to the new incoming board that we considered the governance aspects of this, and this is our recommendation, is that, you know, that you expand it from one to two.
And I have one more element. This is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more element that I wanted to, one more aspect that I wanted to raise is how this all got started. It was not during a meeting, it was during a break, and it was actually Ken Aaron and Ali Lexa, and this was for the technology committee. At that time, it was a committee. And so both of them, that's their key interest and expertise, and they both wanted to serve on the committee, but they're both from KPFK. And it was actually Ken, although he didn't vote for the motion ultimately, but he was the one who pointed out to me, hey, Lydia, look at this. It says at least one director. So technically, you know, Ali and I should really be able to serve on the same committee. And but by the time the session convened and we came up with that motion that would allow that, they didn't favor it. But that was the point. That is the issue, is that the committees call for interest and expertise, and, you know, in some points it's very limiting because you might have more than one director from a signal area that has expertise and none at another one. So there you go.
So how about something like this? It's the sense of the governance committee that the PNB permit two members from each
up to two
members from each LSP area to be on each committee.
Lawrence.
I think that creates some ambiguity. As what's already in place, if we say up to, I just think it needs to be a little bit more direct and concise as to, you know,
just take out the up to. Allow two members. If you say allow two members, it makes it clear that you don't have to have two members. It's the sense of the committee, the governance committee, that the PNB allows two members from each listener area to serve on the standing committees of the PNB.
John, into the queue.
John?
Yeah, well, the bylaws already say shall have at least one, and so that allows two, three, four per LSB. So what you're proposing doesn't add any value because one, two, three, and four are already allowed, and that's the max from each to a maximum of four directors from any particular LSB. I think that this thing doesn't address the issue. The issue is basically balancing government. Whether you want to play Republican hardball and go for the gusto and allow the single majority on the PNB to attain dominance through committees. I mean, if you do that, then things do run more smoothly. But they don't. But they run less democratically because they're less representative. So if the goal is good governance, then you need the intention really needs to be applied to factional support. So philosophically, I would support something like the following: that there should be at least one, but no more than two. And if this is it turns out to be a factional issue, that both factions shall. Shall be represented.
You, how would you define a faction?
You don't need to. The people on the PNB know this very well. They know this better than they know whether it's night or day out.
We're talking about making
policy.
And if you have an STV election, and there are two people around, and there are factions on the board. If the factions wish to exercise themselves, you will get one from each faction.
Right. If it's an STV election and they're up to two, so you get to do that. If, it's, for example, you have some sort of split, suppose you have a 12-8 split, then each one gets one.
This is Bob.
Bob?
Yeah. I agree with George that an STV election automatically means you can't say anything about who should serve on the committee, you know, faction, not faction. It's just whoever the board elects for whatever the number of seats. And
yeah.
I think what's critical, and I think George got the wording right, is that we make clear, especially to accomplish what John's goal is, which I share, which is to have diversity of opinion on the on these committees, that it, that if you just say at least one, it leaves way too much wiggle room for those who oppose this diversity to say, well, you know, even the committee just said it could be one. So we're going to vote to just have one person on this committee. So I think we should just be specific, two people or whatever, George, whatever your wording with the word two in it was. That's what I think is clear. It accomplishes the goal, and, you know, the PNB will do what it wants. But if we leave them the wiggle room, they're more likely to go where they did last year, which is to say, no, only one, rather than saying, well, it could be one or it could be two.
Well, if it's two by STV, then that accomplishes my goal, so I'm happy with that.
Right, which the bylaws requires it to be by STV.
Is there anyone who objects to this being the sense of the governance committee?
George, can you just reread your wording, which is
I didn't write it. It's the sense of the governance committee that the PNB select.
Two members from each signal area for each committee.
Committees.
Yeah, by STV.
Yeah, it has to be by STV. That's in the bylaws too.
Okay.
So how's that? Does that work?
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it to me it sounds like that's required.
Yes.
And
if they wish, it has to be in there somehow.
Well, how about if we say, in the interest of diversity of opinion and experience, the PNB
should. You didn't like the up to, which is what I think we used before. I'm still looking at
The problem with it is it leaves the door open for one, for it to be merely one.
Right, but that's the whole point, is you don't have enough directors to want to serve on all of the committees.
Right, but it could be misinterpreted as meaning, well, for this committee, we're only going to allow one. We're not going to allow a second person to sit. That's what I think needs to be unambiguous. We're advocating that where two people are interested, or more, if three people or four people are interested, then, okay, there will be an election, but there will be at least two seats available to be filled. Now, whether they can be filled, that's a different issue, but they will be available.
Well, then I think that needs to be spelled out, exactly what you just said right now.
Yeah, I support that.
Okay, I have another language. Here we go. Try this. It's the sense of the Governance Committee that the PNB shall select by STV vote up to two directors from each area if there are two or more directors who wish to serve.
Yeah, I think that gets it. Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, I'll also forward that, and Lydia and I will make the sense of the committee known at the appropriate time at the PNB meeting.
Include it in the packet?
No, I will. This is a motion we just passed without objection, and I'll put it in the packet and, send it on to the PNB.
One last quick thing on your report, George.
Yes.
I think these two motions that we passed tonight are the most time sensitive, so I would advocate you don't have the chronological list of what we passed last year, but start with these two and then.
In the opposite order.
Yeah.
Sure.
And some of the ones from last year are moot because they really.
I think I'll just put the ones that aren't moot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else? We're actually over time, but is there anything else anybody wants to share or speak to? Okay, hearing none then. The meeting is adjourned. Again, thanks you all for a committed and actually interesting discussion and for your commitment to the network and to a future that works.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, George.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.